Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
There is something amazing about being in the presence of holiness, mercy, and love. It was what my brother Andrew and I felt when we encountered Jesus for the first time. We knew right away that there never had been, and there never will be anyone else like him.
Who was born Son of God, yet Son of Man, and who laid down and rose to live again,
who rides the clouds of glory,
whose kingdom never ends. There is no other name
This goodness and compassion was the air the other disciples and I breathed every time we were with Jesus. From where you sit, you may doubt it. You may fear it. You may wonder if it was truly possible. But if you believe, there is probably part of you that wishes you had been there with me. During the days of temple worship, we Jews depended on the high priest to go into God's presence on our behalf when he entered the Holy of Holies once a year. Yet something, an empty place that only God could fill, stirred the hearts of the faithful. Somehow, God placed within all of us the need to be with him and to know him fully. That alone can change everything about our lives.
We were a people in bondage and pain, longing for liberty. Under oppression we could not escape, where could our rescue be?
But there was a covenant heaven had made, those centuries flew past.
A promised Messiah would one day appear,
and we would sing at last. We are free.
So lowly and meek, Jesus, God's only Son, come in a manner we did not foresee, yet he's the promised one.
He teaches the kingdom of God is at hand. He loves the last and least.
Though all that he says we do not understand,
whenever we believe, we are free.
Free! If you had made a list of people that the Messiah would want to sit down and talk to, I doubt that my name would ever have appeared. I was an outcast among outcasts. The Jews looked down on the Samaritans, and the Samaritans looked down on me, a woman who flaunted society's idea of how a good woman should act. You probably have heard my story many times. The story of how I met Jesus at the well and how he asked me to give him a drink of water. He told me that he could give me a different kind of water so I would never thirst again. He knew all about me and the life I had lived. Talking to Jesus that day, I felt something I had never felt before. Although he knew me, he didn't condemn me. He didn't approve of my choices. But he talked with me as if I mattered. There was something about being with him that made me feel as though his presence could make a real difference in my life.
In and out of situations, this tug of war in me. Struggled with the answers that I need, but then I come into your presence, and all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment,
you there.
There is such power in God's presence. He is almighty, and yet his might is perfectly balanced by his overwhelming love. He loved the world so much that from the very beginning he made a plan for our redemption, and he created every place and everything that would make it happen.
So I'll cherish the old rock. At noon on the day of his crucifixion, the darkness was so great that it was like midnight. 3 hours later, Jesus declared from the cross, "It is finished," and then he died. Though I had not followed him publicly, I went to Pilate and asked for permission to bury his body. Nicodemus and I wrapped it in cloth and laid it in a tomb that had never been used. How hopeless and final it all seemed. Early on Sunday morning, some women who had followed Jesus during his ministry went to the tomb before dawn to anoint his body. But their spices went unused and forgotten, because instead of finding his broken body, they discovered an empty tomb and an angel who told them, "Jesus isn't here, he's alive. Go and tell Peter and the rest of his disciples." This is the news we never got tired of proclaiming. Death has been conquered by the cross. The grave has been swallowed up by his victory. Jesus is alive.
Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and Omega, the first and last is He. The curse of sin is broken, and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God is risen. He's alive.
Listen to this next one.
The story of Jesus is the story of God becoming like us so he could live among us. But though I met him and believed in him, I didn't truly understand him while he was here. His closest friends didn't comprehend his mercy. Even those who loved him most didn't worship him as he deserved.
They saw him calm the sea and heal a dying man.
They saw, could they really understand? They could not, they could not. Though they tried, they could not. He was just a simple carpenter with healing in his hands. But could they really understand?
I thought of the hill where Jesus died many times after that. Instead of it being a place of great tragedy, it became the place where I discovered how deeply God loved us and what He was willing to sacrifice to redeem us. All any of us have to do is respond to His love with trust and gratitude.
Those times.
We celebrated the presence of our King and Savior every time we gathered after that. Our lives were shaped by the power and glory of His resurrection. The same is true for you today. If you believe, one day we will all sing in His presence together. Hallelujah to the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Praise the Lamb who sits on the throne.
Behold the Lamb, Lord, before all time, now risen back to life for all of us. Behold the Lamb who once was crucified, but now is glorified above. Hallelujah!
you can't find a show like that anywhere else in town. I promise you that. God's been good to us at Westside. Praise the Lord. Wasn't that great? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. This morning during the earlier service at 7 o'clock, the sunrise service, thank you, Pastor, for helping me out. I'm having a rough time today. But we looked out of the book of Matthew, chapter 28. But we'll look here in Luke, chapter 24. And let me ask you something real quickly. We won't be too terribly long. But the gospel was the most important thing. And would you mind standing with me? That'll get you off your seats for a moment. And we'll read the scripture. The Bible says in Luke, chapter 24... Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Verse 8, and they remembered. Amen. Let's sit down, please. There's a few things, Christians, I believe that we need to remember this morning. I believe we need to remember that Satan has been attacking the truth of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ since day one. We have to remember that he first lied. The first lie he spun was that the disciples came and stole the body of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verses through 11 and 15. But how could they have done this? To begin with, the tomb was carefully guarded in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 61 through 66. Well, so we need to remember these lies. The fact is, the apostles themselves didn't believe that the Lord would be resurrected, even though he had told them, just as was said here in the text that we read. But it didn't sink in with them. So why in the world would they steal the body of the Lord if they didn't believe it? You see what I'm saying? I mean, my goodness. So they were not a participant in this. The second lie is that Jesus did not die on the cross, but was in a comatose situation or fainted. And then when they put him in the tomb, it was nice and cool, and he revived. So we need to remember that these are lies that Satan has been putting out from the beginning. The problem is Pilate carefully checked with the centurions to see whether Jesus was dead over in Mark chapter 15 and verse 44. The Roman soldiers who broke the legs of the two thieves knew that Jesus had died, found in John chapter 19, verses 31 through 34. So we need to remember that from the very beginning, that the old devil has been trying to perpetuate the lie that Jesus never even died. Well, then we also see that Satan is continuing to perpetuate another lie, and that is that there was no resurrection. That's another lie. Now remember these lies, because they've all been debunked by the scripture that I'm giving you this morning. Well, first of all, we know that the Lord did resurrect because he appeared to Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20 and verse 11 through 18. Then to the other woman in Matthew 28 verses 9 and 10. Then we found the two on the way to Emmaus walking along when guess who showed up? The Lord Jesus. And he said, Cleopas, why in the world do you and this other look so terribly sad? And they said, oh, well, where have you been, man? Haven't you heard the news that the Lord Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem and he was a great prophet and healed many? Where have you been? And so, you know, he walked along. They didn't recognize the Lord Jesus. But they got to Emmaus, and the Lord pretended like he was going to move on, that he was going to keep traveling. And they said, oh, no, it's too late in the evening. We want you to come and stay with us. And so the Lord said, okay, I'll do that. I'll come stay with you. Hey, I want to stop right there. Remember the day when the Lord said, yeah, okay, I'll come stay with you. Remember when he came along and was walking with you and showed you your imperfections and went to leave and you said, oh, no, please, you've got to come and stay for a while anyway. Well, let me say, they said, no, we really want you to come and stay. So you know what happened? Remember last week we talked about the shepherd? Remember we talked about the good shepherd? The shepherd is our shepherd. The good shepherd is a God that prepared his birth, his death, and his resurrection. But who was the great shepherd? The one that fulfilled the virgin birth. The one who fulfilled the death and the resurrection. That's a great shepherd. And remember this, a shepherd would take his bread out of his script. You know, I didn't tell you that part, did I? He'd take his bread out of his script and break it and give it to you. And when he gave it to you, no matter what crime you had committed, no matter what you had done, you were forgiven and protected from that particular sin. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ took these two into a restaurant, pulled out a bread basket, and broke the bread and gave it to both of them. Listen to this. The Bible says that when he broke the bread and gave it to them, their eyes were open, and then they knew who he was. Hey, you need to remember that this morning. The Lord loves you. He fed you like the great shepherd, that loaf of bread. And if you partook of it, I want to tell you, you've got life and life eternally. You've got a hunger pain that you'll never experience again. Well, let me move on. We need to remember, like these individuals that were, the angels told these ladies, remember, remember. And they remembered. And we also know that Peter saw the Lord after he resurrected in Luke chapter 24 and verse 34. And then his half-brother James is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7. So we know the Lord had been seen by many people post-resurrection. Isn't that wonderful? And then he appeared to seven of the apostles while they were fishing on the Sea of Galilee in John chapter 21. Then he taught them and prepared them for their ministry in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Isn't that wonderful? And I like this one. This one gets me because it is the nail in the coffin of the lie of Satan. Because in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, showed himself at one time to over 500 people. This irrefutable, cannot be disputed, but yet the devil continues with his lies. But we need, oh Christians, to remember the truth. And remember this, that in Psalm chapter 16, verse 8 through 11, that David, the psalmist, he wrote about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ 1,000 years before it happened, and it was fulfilled here in Luke chapter 24. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And listen, young people, you get into the schoolhouse and they try to get you to deny or doubt Christ. You just remember this. The Bible says he is risen. And don't you ever forget it. We need to remember it. I was reading a little bit last night, and you may know his name, Alfred H. Ackley or Ackley. Does anybody recognize that name? He was born in 1887. Many years later, after he was saved, he was called to preach. He was talking to a young Jewish man. Young Jewish man couldn't understand the resurrection of Christ. But this preacher Ackley, said he arose. And the Jewish man said, how and why should I worship a dead Jew? And this pastor said, that's just the point. And then he yelled out, he isn't dead. He is alive. And then shortly after that, it was on an Easter Sunday morning, he and his wife were getting up. I believe it was in 1932-ish, give or take a year. They were getting up on an Easter Sunday morning. On an Easter Sunday morning, and they turned on the radio, and there was a liberal pastor that made the statement it didn't matter to him whether or not Jesus raised up from the dead, that he would just keep preaching the truths of God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, there is no truth of God. Because if he did not resurrect, our God is a liar. And I want to tell you, based on just a little bit of information I've given you today, Jesus is alive. Jesus is not a liar. Well, this thing stuck in the craw of this preacher Ackley. He didn't appreciate it any. He was walking around the house yelling at the radio and calling that liberal, humanistic preacher good Christian names. Amen. And but he also had another ability. He wrote, could play the piano, could sing. And he got so angry over that thing and ranted so long, his wife eventually said, honey, why don't you write a song about the whole topic of the Lord's resurrection? And so that's exactly what he did. And you know what he wrote? He wrote the song, He Lives. He said, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Amen. And the chorus, of course, says, he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. I want to say to you, lost person, that right now, that the Lord Jesus lives, and today he wants to impart unto you his salvation. You're lost and on your way to hell, but he loved you enough to die for you and to resurrect for you, and today he wants to impart his salvation unto you. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You say, I'm not sure I believe all this Christianity. Take it from one of his children. He's alive. He's alive in me. And if you're saved and born again, he's alive in you. You may be here this morning and say, preacher, I don't really feel anything about this Jesus. It may be that you are not a born-again Christian. It may be that you don't have Christ in your heart. I want to tell you, if you have the Lord Jesus in your heart, you have a living Savior in your life, and He makes Himself evident in your life if you allow Him. We need to remember that. We need to remember the words in all the world around me. I see His loving care, and though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. And you know, when He appears, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be in a cardboard or a pine box. He's alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Rejoice, oh, rejoice, rejoice, oh Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, and the help. Hey, listen, He's here to help you this morning. The help of all who find. The help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. I want to say to you again, lost person and Christian alike, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me, folks, how I know He lives. Ask me how I know He lives, and I'll tell you, there's only many times you look out in this world and it doesn't look like there's a lot of indicators that God's even alive. But I'm going to tell you, I know He is because He lives within my heart. Amen. I'll take it, church. I'll take it. When I have a different invitation, when I have a song, I've asked Brother William if we would sing, He Lives, He Lives. It may not be the tone of, say, your normal invitation, but the reason I want us to sing this song, if you're a Christian today, you can sing it with joy, knowing that He lives inside of you. But at the same moment, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to suggest that maybe you slip out, come down the aisle, and let us have someone take the Word of God and show you how you can have the Savior of the world living deep in your heart, how He can walk with you and talk with you and guide you and bless you and strengthen you and undergird you and help you in your sin. Let me say this. Help you out of your sin. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Does He live in you? Does He live in you? Does He live in you? Christians, you may want to come to the altar this morning. Just thank God that He's alive. Thank God that He's alive within, He's alive. But then thank God He's alive in us. And then, lost person, don't leave here today. Don't leave here today and hit those streets. Last night I turned the news on, and a little girl from out of town went out to a restaurant, came down to spend Easter with her family, got out of the car downtown Atlanta to a restaurant in the parking lot, threw her keys to the valet. The car began to roll. The valet jumped in, hit the brake and hit the accelerator and crushed that woman between that car and another car and killed her. It scared me to death because they showed a picture of that lady and it looked like a member of this church, a twin of a member of Westside Baptist Church. I almost fell out of my chair. I said, Lord, no. And then finally they got around to saying the lady's name. I thank God that she was not a member here. I don't know whether or not that lady was lost or saved, but she went out into eternity from a restaurant, a place of celebration, a time of fellowship and family and friends. They were going to have a good time, good, bad, evil, I don't know. But they were just going to for some enjoyment. And she was taken off this planet. To you, lost person, you don't have to be out in the middle of a gunfight. You don't have to be in the middle of drugs and alcohol. You can be anywhere, and you could slip right out into eternity just that easily. I was also last night saw a young man that was on a track and field team somewhere here in Atlanta, was down in Florida, fell and hit his head, 17 years old, track star, 17 years old, dead just like that. It wasn't his plan. He and his family didn't get on a plane, fly to Florida so he could hit his head and die. But yet he's in eternity today. I hope he was saved. But today, you're here. And if you don't know the Lord, you can be saved today. If you slip and hit your head on the front porch on the way out and go out to eternity, you can be saved. You can know that you'll fall into the arms of Jesus when you fall out of this life and into the other. Let's sing, brother. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's please stand. Stand and sing. Christian, if you can sing it, sing it. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't sing it. Come down and let us show you how you can be born again this morning.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. Sing, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Sing, He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
We're going to sing the second verse. But I want to invite you again, lost person. Please don't leave here without Christ. This thing of eternity is very real. And we don't want you to leave here without knowing Jesus. So this is your chance. Be born again today. This is it. It could be your final chance as we sing, Brother William.
I see all the world around me. I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading, though all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. Sing, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me. How long? Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and He
walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way.
Yes, he lives, he lives, salvation to impart. Watch me now.
You ask me how I know he lives.
Save it.
He He lives.
Sing it like that again.
He lives.